Welcome to Implement and Manage Azure Virtual Networking. This is a 9-part series that walks you through the whole world of Azure networking for the AZ-104 exam and for real day-to-day work in the cloud. Over the coming episodes, we'll build up from the ground floor to public IPs, peering, routing, security groups, DNS, and load balancing. But everything starts here, in episode 1, with the most fundamental building block of them all, the virtual network. So put your headphones on, and let's begin at the foundation. Here's the key idea to hold on to for the whole series. Almost every workload you deploy in Azure lives inside a virtual network. A virtual machine, an app service environment, a Kubernetes cluster, they all get placed into a virtual network. Think of the virtual network as the private, isolated network you build inside Azure, your own slice of the cloud where your resources can talk to each other safely. And here's why this first episode matters so much. The address plan you choose on day one is very, very hard to unwind later. If you get the IP design wrong, you can permanently block yourself from connecting networks together down the road. So this is genuinely the single highest leverage decision in all of Azure networking. Get it right here, and the other 8 episodes just click into place on top. Let's start with where the virtual network sits in the bigger picture. Azure organizes its networking services into 5 broad families. The one we care about today is called Networking Foundation. That's the core connectivity layer, and the virtual network is its centerpiece, sitting right alongside things like Private Link, Azure DNS, Azure Bastion, and NAT Gateway. The other families sit on top of it. There's a Load Balancing and Content Delivery family, with Load Balancer, Application Gateway, and Front Door. There's a Hybrid Connectivity family for linking your on-premises data center to Azure, using VPN gateways and ExpressRoute. There's a Network Security family, with the Firewall, the Web Application Firewall, and DDoS Protection. And there's a Management and Monitoring family, with tools like Network Watcher. Now here's the thing to really absorb. The virtual network is the foundation the whole rest of that list depends on. You simply cannot attach a load balancer, a firewall, or a private endpoint without a virtual network to host it first. And one lovely detail, there is no charge for the virtual network itself. You only pay for the resources you place inside it. The network is free. Now, why does the virtual network matter as a boundary? Because it's an isolation boundary, and it comes with 2 scope rules that are essential for the exam. First rule, 1 region. A single virtual network lives in exactly 1 Azure region. You cannot stretch 1 network across 2 regions. If you need to connect networks in different regions, you use peering, and we'll cover that in episode 3. Second rule, 1 subscription. A virtual network belongs to 1 subscription, and any resource you connect to it must sit in that same subscription and the same region. Now here's a nuance people often miss. While a virtual network is pinned to 1 region, it transparently spans all the availability zones inside that region. You don't carve up your network by zone. A zonal virtual machine just picks its own zone, independently of how you designed the network. Here's a little memory hook for that. Picture the word RAIS, but spelled R-S-I-Z regional, subscription-bound, isolated, and zone-spanning. If you remember only that a virtual network is pinned to 1 region and 1 subscription, but transparently covers every zone, you've got the boundary exactly right. A couple of quick naming facts before we move on. A virtual network's name has to be unique within its resource group, and once you create it, you can't change the name. And administration is governed by Azure role-based access control. The standard grant for working with networks, subnets, peerings, and security groups is the built-in role called Network Contributor. Now let's talk about the heart of today's episode, planning the address space. Every virtual network is assigned 1 or more address ranges, written in what's called CIDR notation. For example, 10.0.0.0/16. That /16 tells you how big the range is. Microsoft recommends you use private address space, the range is reserved by the standard known as RFC 1918. And whether the range is private or public, it's reachable only from inside the network, from connected networks, and from connected on-premises sites. It is never reachable from the open internet. There are a few ranges you're simply not allowed to use, because Azure reserves them for special purposes. Multicast, broadcast, loopback, and link local ranges are all off-limits. And one specific address to tuck away in your memory, 168.63.129.16. That single address is used by Azure internally for DNS, for DHCP, and for load balancer health probes. You'll meet it again in later episodes, so remember it as the special Azure internal address. And now the golden rule of address planning. Address ranges must not overlap. Not with another network you might want to peer with, and not with any on-premises network you might connect to later. This isn't a gentle warning you can click past. Two networks with overlapping ranges simply cannot be connected. Full stop. It's enforced, not advisory. So, because you might want to peer or go hybrid in the future, you plan your whole organization's address space up front, and you leave plenty of room to grow. Let's make that concrete. Imagine you need to host a three-tier application, a web tier, an app tier, and a data tier, all in one network in the East US region. You expect modest growth. And there's a catch, your on-premises network is already using 10.1.0.0/16. So how do you design it? You pick a range that avoids that on-premises block. A great choice is 10.0.0.0/16, which gives you 65,536 addresses to play with. Then you carve out three subnets, one per tier. Say 10.0.1.0/24 for web, 10.0.2.0/24 for app, and 10.0.3.0/24 for data. Each of those is a /24, giving 256 addresses. And crucially, you leave everything from 10.0.4 onward free for future subnets, maybe a gateway subnet or a management subnet later. Because your network is on the 10.0 block and on-premises is on the 10.1 block, the two don't overlap, so you can safely add a VPN or peering later without a painful redesign. That brings us naturally to subnets. A subnet is the container where your resources are actually deployed inside the network. Segmenting into subnets lets you apply security and routing per tier, and it keeps your blast radius small if something goes wrong. A few design points. Each subnet needs its own unique range, and subnet ranges can't overlap each other. You segment by workload and by security, putting resources that need different security rules or different routes into different subnets. In fact, if you want traffic between two resources to pass through a network virtual appliance, an NVA, you must place them in different subnets. And here's a naming trap that catches people out. Start your subnet name with a letter, not a number. Application Gateway, for example, refuses to deploy into a subnet whose name begins with a digit. Now here's a classic exam point, so let's really lock it in. Azure reserves 5 IP addresses in every single subnet. 5. That's the first 4 addresses of the range, plus the very last one. What are they for? The first address is the network address. The next one, ending in .1, is the default gateway. The two after that are used by Azure for its DNS and infrastructure roles. And the last address is the network broadcast. So the practical takeaway is this. Every subnet you plan has 5 fewer usable addresses than its raw size. This is more restrictive than traditional on-premises subnetting, where you'd normally subtract just 2. In Azure, always subtract 5. And because of that, the smallest subnet you can create is a /29. Which has 8 total addresses but only 3 usable ones. 8 minus 5 is 3. Let's practice that. Imagine your app subnet is 10.0.2.0/26. How many usable addresses do you get? A /26 gives you 64 total addresses. Subtract Azure's 5 reserved, and you're left with 59 usable addresses for your virtual machines. The reserved ones are the first 4. And the last one. So 64 minus 5 equals 59. Remember, always subtract 5, never 2. Let's talk briefly about how resources actually get their private addresses. Things like virtual machine network interfaces, internal load balancers, and application gateways all pull a private IP from their subnet's range. There are two ways that happens. The default is dynamic allocation, where Azure just assigns the next available address for you. That's fine for general-purpose virtual machines. But the keyword is dynamic, the assignment is not deterministic, so never assume you'll get the next sequential IP. The other method is static allocation, where you pick a specific unassigned address yourself. You use static when a resource needs a fixed, predictable address, like a DNS server or a domain controller. One handy detail, when you switch a network interface from dynamic to static, Azure keeps the address it's currently using as the new static one by default. One common trap is worth walking through. Say Team A built a network with the range 10.0.0.0/16. And Team B, working separately, built one with 10.0.0.0/24. Next quarter, you're asked to peer them so their machines can talk. What's the problem? Team B's range sits entirely inside Team A's range. They overlap. And as we said, peering is impossible while ranges overlap. To fix it, one network has to be readdressed to a non-overlapping range, and that means moving resources around. It's genuinely painful after the fact. The lesson: allocate distinct ranges from a shared organizational plan before anyone builds anything. Finally, a quick word on managing these networks. In the portal, you create a network from the virtual networks blade, then click Create, and fill in the subscription, resource group, name, region, the address space, and at least one subnet. On the command line, the essential verbs are create, update, and delete. And there are a few gates to remember. You can extend or shrink a network's range, but only so it still contains all its existing subnets, and if it's peered, the new range can't overlap the peer. You can only change a subnet's range when no resources are deployed in it. And you can only delete a subnet when it's empty, and a network only when nothing is connected. Delete the resources first. Oh, and one DNS detail, the default is Azure-provided name resolution, but if you switch to custom DNS servers, connected machines only pick up the change after a restart. So let's do a quick recap before we wrap up. The virtual network is the free, fundamental building block that every other Azure networking service plugs into. It's scoped to one region and one subscription, it's an isolation boundary, and it spans every availability zone in its region. Its address ranges must never overlap any network you might peer or connect to, because overlap blocks connectivity permanently. Azure reserves 5 addresses per subnet, the first 4 and the last, so the smallest subnet is a /29 with 3 usable addresses. Private IPs are dynamic by default, and you switch to static when you need a fixed address. And you can't rename a network or subnet after you create it. That's your foundation laid. In the next episode, we'll look at how the resources in your freshly planned network actually reach the internet. We'll cover public IP addresses, the difference between the standard and basic public IP tiers, and how to build scalable outbound connectivity with the Azure NAT Gateway. I'll see you in episode 2.